We have certainly much to be thankful for. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, but I decided to go back to the Thanksgiving text for today. So we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a greeting from heaven itself unto you this morning. Paul uses this greeting in all his letters, and it truly comes from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven unto you this morning. So the gospel text for Thanksgiving, I'll start with, which is found in Luke, the 17th chapter. That's Luke, 17th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse through the 19th. We do pray that the Lord would speak through us to us through his word this morning, that he would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, that through his word we may hear the voice of the Good Shepherd unto us this morning. Amen. We read in Jesus' name. And it came to pass, as he went through to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Then we turn to the epistle text, which is in Philippians, the 4th chapter. That's Philippians, the 4th chapter. And we'll read from the 4th verse through the 20th. And we read again in Jesus' name. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things are that are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I've learned In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, I am full, receiving from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we look at this epistle text, he begins with, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again, I say rejoice. Sometimes it's hard for us to rejoice in the situations that we're in. We don't rejoice because we're suffering or have trials, but we rejoice in the Lord. The key is in the Lord we rejoice. We don't rejoice because we're going through troubles and trials, even though the Lord uses them sometimes for us. But the instruction here is to rejoice, not just sometime, but he says always. And he emphasizes again, he says, rejoice. You may say, well, Paul, you really don't understand what I'm going through, what I've been through. How can I rejoice? But we know that Paul, he suffered many times. And when he's writing this letter to the church, the Philippian church, he's in prison in Rome. As we look in Corinthians, he talks about his suffering. 2 Corinthians eleventh chapter. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning with the 23rd verse, he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches." So we can see that Paul suffered much. Yet he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Paul, in the latter part of this text, talks about how he learned to be content. And that's how he was able to rejoice in the Lord, because he learned to be content. As we see in the 12th verse of our text here, and I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the key, right? That last verse. I can do all things. Not of myself, but through Christ, the one that strengthens us. He strengthens us for whatever we go through in this life. When we think about it, when we lose loved ones, how are we going to be able to ever get through it? But as we go through it, we see how God works and strengthens us, that we are able to go through them times. So what a blessing it is that we are in Christ, that Christ strengthens us, and we have this body of believers that uphold us and help us as we go through these times. Then he goes on, be careful for nothing. But actually, we don't use that word in that way here, but it's more like anxious in some other translations. That be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So here he instructs us not to be anxious. Easier said than done, right? If I told you that I wasn't anxious to come to this place this morning, I'd be lying. There's a lot of things that make us anxious in this life. We heard from the brother here this morning that he wanted prayers for because he's going through some anxiety. This is instructions to all of us. I often have to turn to this scripture. But it says that we should not be anxious, but in everything, that with prayer and supplications, that we would speak unto the Lord in prayer and supplications. This is instructions. Whenever we're anxious, bring these things before the Lord. And he says, with thanksgiving. Thanking him for all that we have. We don't have to look very far and we can find people that have much less than we do. We spent quite a bit of time in Guatemala. We lived there for few months and we made several mission trips there. In the poor countries, you realize that they don't have hardly nothing. You know, they sleep on the ground basically and cook their food over an open fire, you know, in hot summer days, and they don't have that much to eat. And I remember our translator, when we asked him to pray before we ate a lot of times, he would always pray for those that didn't have what we have. That we would remember to pray for those that are in want and have even the basic necessities, food and shelter. So we are really blessed if we look around. So there's many things that we can give thanks for. We look at our gospel text. It speaks about thankfulness with these lepers. Luke, the 17th chapter, where our gospel text. We see that Jesus was passing. He was going on his way to Jerusalem, and he's passing through the midst of Samaria. And Galilee. And he came upon, as he entered the village, there met him 10 men that had leprosy. And what did they do? They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We have to do that many times. We look at ourselves, we cry unto the Lord, "Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We truly need his mercy, and he promises that his mercy endures forever. Throughout the scripture, it speaks of his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy is new every morning. What a blessing it is that we have that mercy of the Lord. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And that was what was to be happened. That was an Old Testament custom, that those that were healed from leprosy, that they would go show themselves unto the priest, that they would announce that they were clean, and therefore they could, you know, go amongst other people because they had been cleaned of their leprosy. And so it was that as they left traveling away, they were cleansed from their leprosy. And there's one of them that when he had saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. One of the ten, when he seen that he had been cleansed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. What a miracle that was for him, that he was cleansed of his leprosy. And when they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," they had to know that he was able. He had the authority to cleanse them, and that they had heard of him, I'm sure, of all the miracles that he had performed. And they had faith that he would also be able to cleanse them. And that's why they cried unto him. And then this Samaritan, as it says that he was Samaritan, he comes to Jesus and he falls at Jesus' feet. Fell down on his face at Jesus' feet and gave thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So he was thankful for what Jesus had done. And we don't know about the other nine, whether they went to the priest, I don't say. But this Samaritan, he came to that great high priest, Jesus, who is the high priest. And Jesus says there were 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, the Samaritan. He was the only one to give glory to God. And then he says unto him, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." His faith had made him whole. So in our epistle decks, it says that we would make our request known unto God with thanksgiving. And then there's a promise that if we do this, if we bring these things that we're anxious about before God, that it says in the 7th verse, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This is the promise, that if we bring our anxiousness, our anxiety to the Lord, that we will. He promises that we will have the peace of God which passes all understanding. We understand that it's a struggle for a lot of us when we're anxious. And maybe we question, where is the peace? But there's a promise that we will have peace of God. Not because of what we had done, but what the Lord has done for you and I. And this morning, we pray that each one of us would have that peace of God in our hearts. And the way we have that peace of God is knowing that our sins are forgiven, that what Christ done on that center cross of Calvary was sufficient for you and I, that we can even this morning believe that all our sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done on that cross. Our sins are washed away by that blood that he shed on the cross. And through his name, we can believe this morning. So be assured this morning that your sins are forgiven and that you have peace with God, the peace that passes all understanding. Then he tells us how to keep from being anxious. What we feed our minds is what we end up being. In the 8th verse, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So he tells us these are the things that we are to think about. We can start thinking about all the bad stuff, and then we really have anxiety. We look around at the world today, there's many things to be anxious about. But he tells us, set your mind on these good things. And that's what we need to try to do, is set our minds on the good things. Then he goes on. "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you." Here Paul says, the things that I have taught you, the things that you have received from me, that word, the gospel message, those things that you have received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Here Paul sets himself as an example. For me, it'd be hard to do if I look at myself. How can I tell other people to, what you see in me, do? Then he goes on, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, wherein ye were careful, but lacked opportunity." Here he talks about them giving unto him the necessities, providing for his needs. He says that he rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now that they had sent that which was given unto him, to him. And he says that they lacked opportunity before. "Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content." Pretty amazing. He says, I don't need anything. I don't speak in want for these gifts from you. He says, for I've learned something that don't come natural for us, isn't it? Contentment isn't just something naturally that we have. Paul says, I learned to be content. And that's how he was able to rejoice in the Lord, because he had learned to be content whatever state that he was in. He says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We can do all things, not of our own strength or will, but because of through Christ we can do all things. Without him, we can do nothing. But through him, we can do all things, and he's the one that strengthens us. So we need to ask that the Lord would strengthen us, that we may be able to go through anything in this life. This life is a vapor. It's here one moment and gone the next. Eternity is forever. But we only know this life here, so it means quite a bit to us. And God has given us a desire to live. But this life here on this earth is but a vapor. It's here one minute and gone the next. It's nothing compared to eternity. Notwithstanding, you've well done that ye did communicate with my affliction, that they did share in his affliction. Then he says, you have done well. And then he speaks of how it was that they had been a giving congregation in the past and continue to. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now the other churches give unto him, but the Philippians congregation did. So here he's telling them, you did in the past. So that talks about giving. And oh, that God would give each one of us the spirit of giving. And it's not only of our finances, but it's time and talents also. That we would be good stewards of what God has given us. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessities. But not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound in your account. So he didn't desire it of himself. But he desired that they would have that spirit of giving, that they would give to those that are in need. And so he praised them for what they had done, not for his own benefit, but that fruit of giving would bound unto them. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Wasn't that he needed all these things from him? He could get by, he figured, without what they had given, but that he encouraged them to continue to give, that it would be abound unto their account. And he says that it is an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing unto God. A giving that this church had given was well-pleasing unto God. And he goes on, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. And that's a promise unto you and I this morning. That our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. This is a promise to us this morning that he will do that. And in our final verse is a prayer unto those in the congregation not there, but it's a prayer for us this morning also. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's close with prayer and benediction. Oh, Father in heaven, we come again to you this morning, thanking you for all the many blessings that you have so abundantly blessed us with, all the things that are for our natural life here. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for that great salvation that you have provided through your Son, Jesus, that free gift of salvation. And, oh, Father, we pray that you would continue to bless us. And, oh, Lord, as we see how that this virus has affected so many of the people we know, oh, Lord, that we pray that you would take this virus from this land, that our people would not be affected by this virus. You know the reason, but we pray that it would be taken away from us, that we would be able to return to normal life. And, oh, Father, we thank you that you have spoken unto us this morning, that we may meditate on your word that we have heard, that we would not be anxious for anything, but that we would bring all our cares before you, Father, in prayer and supplication. And you promise, O Father, that we would have that peace that passes all understanding. And, O Father, we pray for all those that are in hospitals, that are in deathbeds, that you would be there to strengthen and comfort them. Especially, we pray for Oleva, and we pray for Susie, as it seems that she's on her last breaths. Oh, Lord, that you would be with them, comfort them, strengthen them. Be with the families, that you would give them comfort and strength to deal with the loss of loved ones. And, oh, Father, we thank you for Jesus this morning, that you have provided that salvation for us. Now let us receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.